na jai tana pramani sana na jai jai kada na
The following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami Maharaj on September 4th, 1982 at New Vrindavan Farm Community in West Virginia. The class is given on the occasion of the New Vrindavan Festival.
Today, devotees are coming from all over North America and different parts of the world to participate in this wonderful New Mayapur, New Vrindavan festival. I was thinking how the only way to approach Vrindavan is that one has to go to Lord Chaitanya. That's why there was a little slip. not that I say you have to go to New Mayapur to go to New Vrindavan, but actually, when we worship Vrindavan and Radha Krishna and their transcendental pastimes in Vrindavan, we should also remember that how we came to know about these transcendental pastimes is, of course, Radha Krishna have combined together out of their causeless mercy to share their pastimes. They have combined together as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has brought that pure realization and pure love of Radha Krishna, of Vrindavan Dham, so that the fallen souls of this Kali Yuga can get the opportunity. When we have these festivals, of course there's plenty of feasts and festivities, and I was just reminded how Srila Prabhupada, he used to give the example that in a feast, you feed sometimes the children all the sweets first. Because they're very impatient, they can't go through all the vegetables, they want to go right to the sweets. Then they're quiet. But actually, this is what Radha Krishna have done when they have combined their Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and come down in this age as Lord Chaitanya in the mood of a devotee, is that they gave us first the sweets. This is the example Prabhupada gave. Because we're so disturbed in our mind in this Kali Yuga, the Krishna has given us first the dessert. What normally yogis, jnanis, transcendentalists would go on trying to realize after so many ages, after so many births, after rigorous realization, finally, when one comes to the topmost level, one can understand what is Vrindavana, what is Radha Krishna. But by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, that is given first. So Prabhupada said this is giving us first the dessert. First he's giving us the ecstasy, the bliss of Krishna consciousness, and after we are attached to Krishna, then we go into refining our devotional service, practicing, avoiding offenses, and breaking our principles. But immediately, anyone, if they come, they can taste this happiness in Krishna consciousness. And actually, once one achieves that happiness, automatically everything else is achieved. One becomes fixed in devotional service to Krishna. So, just as Raghunath Das Goswami directly tried to approach Lord Chaitanya and was refused by Lord Chaitanya. Instead, he was told that, no, you just practice in your home devotional service. You don't have to join me. Then after about 1 year, Raghunath Das Goswami, he was feeling an intense separation from Lord Chaitanya. He followed his orders. Everything had worked out quite all right. But he was feeling that somehow I have not been accepted by Lord Chaitanya because I did not approach him in the proper mood. So that time Nityananda Prabhu was there, Pani Hati. And he approached Lord Nityananda. He fell down at his lotus feet and said, please forgive me, I have committed so many offenses. And then Nityananda said, yes, you tried to directly approach Lord Chaitanya, avoiding me. You tried to directly approach the Supreme Lord, avoiding the Guru. Nityananda is Adi Guru. He's the first spiritual master. So, to approach, just as we have to approach Lord Chaitanya through Nityananda, to approach Krishna, we have to go through the Guru. To get to Nityananda, we go through Guru, who is the original, he's the representative of Lord Nityananda, and by Nityananda's Guru's mercy, we get Nitya's mercy, by Nitya's mercy, we get Lord Chaitanya's mercy, by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, we get the mercy of Radha and Krishna. Of course, then you know that Lord Nityananda, he then told Raghunath Das, that now I'm going to punish you for your offense. And that punishment was he had to feed everyone with chira and doi, with chipped rice and yogurt, fruits. So, being a son of a Jamindar type of king, Raghunath Das, he took it as a great punishment, as rather a great mercy. So he arranged prasad for all of the devotees. So, here it's very nice in New Vrindavan that the very first temple, of course, is Prabhupada's palace, teaching that to enter Vrindavan, first we have to go through the mercy of Guru. By the mercy of Guru, we get the mercy of Nitai Gaur. By his mercy, then we can really understand Radha Vrindavan Chandra, Radha Madhava, Radha Krishna. We can understand the true glories of Vrindavan Dham. We may commit so many offenses in Vrindavan, but by the mercy of Guru and Lord Chaitanya, these offenses can be quickly absolved. Therefore, we need their mercy before we can go and worship properly in Vrindavan. Otherwise, directly it's very difficult to actually properly perform our devotional service in Vrindavana. Vrindavana is on the level of pure love, but the Guru and Nitai Gaur, they are all merciful. So they can absolve us of any mistakes that we make, making it actually possible for us to properly serve, for our service to be accepted while we serve in Vrindavan. Holy Dham is not limited. We have to see the Holy Dham as being beyond time and place. In the spiritual world, Krishna is eternally existing in his eternal Dham, and that eternal Dham he manifests in the material world, in Vrindavana, in Navadvipa, where he appears and performs his pastimes. But the Bhagavatam also describes that wherever the devotees gather together and glorify Him, there the Lord is present. The Dhamma also means the heart of the devotees. So when all the devotees are coming together, when they are chanting Hare Krishna, when they are performing devotional service, glorifying the Lord becomes fixed up in their heart. And that place becomes the residence of the Lord. It becomes the holy dham. As long as the devotees are chanting and serving and keeping Krishna in the center, then anyone who comes to that dham, that sacred place of pilgrimage, they will also feel the transcendental effect. Just as recently we heard that in the television, the announcer said after touring New Vrindavan, he said, now we are leaving the spiritual world and going into the material world. So they could accept that Srila Prabhupada's temple, it was a different atmosphere. It was a spiritual world. That effect is there because of the devotees worshipping the Lord. The Lord personally resides there. So, that's Srila Prabhupada's mercy, that he didn't want to limit the holy dham in any way. Rather, not only did he want to glorify the original holy dhams in Mayapur and Vrindavana, but wanted that the holy dham should be manifested all over the universe in different temples. Each temple is also like a sripad. It's also a residence of the Lord, where people can go and gain spiritual shelter. Of course, purity is our force. As much as we can maintain the purity in those temples, so shall the Lord manifest His transcendental presence. Of course, He can always exceptionally manifest out of His own free will. So this Krishna consciousness movement is meant for everyone. Man, woman, child, young, old, all the races of the world. Krishna consciousness is meant for everyone. We are born in this world. Everyone is searching happiness. But what is the real purpose of life? That, of course, human beings, we can ask. Atata Brahma Jigyasa. If we don't ask, then what type of human being are we? Human being is meant to ask, where have I come from, where am I going, what is the cause of the universe, what is beyond this planet, are there creatures on other planets? Like we are intelligent, are we to think that all the other planets, there's no intelligent beings there? How is it possible? So what are on these other planets? These are all the questions of human beings. So, the Krishna conscious movement is not a sectarian practice that is meant just for people who like Indian culture, or people who are fed up with the Christianity or Islam or Judaism or whatever. No. A people of all the faiths of the world or all the different shades of agnosticism or whatever they may be, for everyone, these principles of Krishna consciousness, of finding, of realizing one's eternal relationship with God and acting in that relationship, these are applicable for everyone. Just a simple example, when Prabhupada described the Bhagavad Gita sloka, Komaram Jauvanam Jara Dehantaram Prati Virastatya Namuyati, that Dihankara Prati Diyas Tatya Namuyati. That just as we are going from Kumara, childhood, to Jovana, youth, to Jaya, to old age, similar to time of death, we are also changing our body. Just as we are changing so many bodies, from childhood body to youthful body to old age body. So Prabhupada said that what is sectarian about that statement? Only the Hindus are going from childhood to youth to old age. Not the Christians, not the Jews, not the Muslims, not the atheists, not the dogs. Everyone is going from childhood to youth to old age. The Bhagavad Gita was not spoken with the idea that this is only for one section of human being. It was spoken for the entire human race, without any exception. In fact, it was even spoken for the benefit of demigods who were present. Everything about Krishna consciousness is universal. It is meant for everyone. So, therefore people who come here, they don't have to feel that, well, is there anything wrong if I chant, or if I participate, or if I start to feel happy. There's nothing at all wrong. You just let yourself be happy, chanting Hare Krishna, feasting on the prasadam, don't at all feel self-conscious. Here, no one is looking that all that person is chanting. No. The other people are looking, oh, he's not chanting. Wonder why he is or she is not chanting. Here everyone can feel very much at ease for chanting and for just becoming happy in Krishna consciousness. We come into this world, we want to find out what are the answers, but actually, that's a very long path, the path of self-realization. At the end of that path is pure nectar, is pure bliss. So this Krishna conscious movement is so wonderful that first you're getting the nectar. So why should you complain? First you get the nectar, the pure bliss. Even in the beginning, simply by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna,
Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And by chanting, the consciousness is purified, all the answers are revealed very easily. Our consciousness requires to be purified to understand philosophical concepts. We have to open our vision. That is automatically done by cleansing away. Actually, we are all Krishna conscious. It's not that people become Krishna conscious. Everybody already is Krishna conscious. It's just that Krishna consciousness is covered up. Simply we have to remove the dirt and the Krishna consciousness is there. Every day we go out in the street, we get our clothes dirty, we don't think twice to wash our cloth. But we don't realize every day we go out, and in our talk with our family, with our friends, with our society, our consciousness is being soiled with lust, anger, greed, with illusion, with intoxication, with envy. And we build up a coating of karmas, a coating of contaminations over our original pure Krishna consciousness. And we're seeing everything through the colored glass of those coverings. Therefore we see ourselves as being young or old, or as American, or as a Chinese, or as an Indian. or as a Catholic or a Protestant or whatever, as a capitalist or a communist. These are all the superficial coverings. And by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, those artificial coverings, those dirts, they are cleansed away. Chetadarpanamajanangabhavamahabhivajaneevapanam. As soon as they are cleansed away, the first symptom is you will feel transcendental happiness. You will feel the misery is going away. Bhava mahadavagni nirvapanam. The forest fire of miseries are driven away. So we thank the organizers of the festival for making this program for us to come together and chant in the Upadeshamrita Srila Prabhupada, in translating the six exchanges of loving relationship between devotees, namely offering of foodstuff, accepting foodstuff, offering of a gift and accepting a gift in return, offering of some one's mind and accepting one's confidential talks. These six exchanges, in their purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that the whole international society for Krishna consciousness has been made so that the devotees can exchange loving relations and loving feelings between each other. Srila Prabhupada ki! So that we can come together and we can discuss Krishna and we can exchange these intimate spiritual loving exchanges and increase our closeness, bring us together and to uplift the consciousness. A festival in Sanskrit is called an Utsav. The Ut means transcendental. Means to uplift. The Utsav means that time when everyone's spirit, everyone's transcendental mood is uplifted. Normally, in the modern day, we find festival where everyone goes and gets drunk and then they go to sleep. Where's the question of uplifting? They go under the table. But here we chant Hare Krishna. Actually, people forget about sleeping and forget about so many bodily considerations. Even they live in crowded conditions or they accept sometimes so many physically what might seem to be inconveniences, but because their consciousness is being uplifted in the association with so many devotees, in the loving exchanges with so many devotees, that these things are completely considered insignificant. This actually upliftment of consciousness. And when many devotees come together, that's called a Maha-Utsav or Mahutsav, a great upliftment of consciousness. So everyone should see while they're here that they keep their consciousness in the transcendental platform by always exchanging in these loving exchanges, chanting Hare Krishna, keeping the mind focused on Krishna. This is our secret of success. Then you will always be tasting nectar at every step. Purnamita patipadam purnamita swadhanam sarvatmasnapanam parang vijayate si Krishna sankirtanam. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadharo Sri Vasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Any questions? Yes?
Faith is most important. So I just want to keep the faith, God, and channel, and then the election will be. trust is really working, it becomes purified, becomes self-realized.
In the same Upadeshamrita, Sanatana Goswami described the first thing as enthusiasm. Utsaho, nischaya, dujja. Then next is the being convinced, being determined and confident that by chanting we will achieve the desired result. Of course, then the third is patience. That even if it takes a little longer than what we may have expected or hoped, we should be patient. We shouldn't lose our faith. So these three aspects, you can see how they are fitting with each other. Faith is something that cannot just be manufactured. It comes naturally. Initially we place some faith. Just like nowadays in America, they use a similar system for building up credit. They give you a little loan, you pay it back. They give you a little bigger loan, you pay it back. As you keep on paying back your loans, you get more and more credit. So in the same way, as you put your faith in Krishna, all right, you chant Hare Krishna. That's also faith. You chant, and then you start to get some reciprocation. Then you start giving some service. You start doing some more. And as you're doing more and more, putting more faith in Krishna, you get more reciprocation. But sometimes, a devotee is not very careful. And although apparently they're putting some faith in Krishna, they may be committing some offenses or may actually only be externally putting faith in Krishna. Internally they may have different plans. So they don't get that complete reciprocation. Then they start to apparently lose faith. It's not losing faith. That meant they didn't give their faith to begin with. Therefore, we're advised by Lord Chaitanya in the Madhya Lila of the Chaitanya Charitamrita that we have to, first of all, to develop this higher level of faith, we have to pull out the weeds, the anarthas, the upasakas. He names six main ones, but there are many. He mentions jiva hinsa, the first one is, nishidachar, kruti nati, jiva hinsana, lab, puja, pratistadi, jatu pusakagan. That first one is the forbidden activities, like breaking regular principles. Second one is kutinati, diplomatic behavior, being unstraightforward in dealing with Vaishnavas, being motivated but trying to appear unmotivated, all those things. Then jiva hinsa, unnecessary violence, cruelty, dealing harsh with others, or killing animals. Then, lab, puja, pratistadi. Profit, lab, puja, worship, and pratistha, importance, position. All these type of desire or practicing activities which fall under these categories and other similar categories, they're weeds. So weeds, you know that if water your field, you go through the labor of watering, fertilizing, but if you have weeds in the field, the weeds may outgrow your standing crop of sorghum or maize or whatever you're growing. In fact, in Morari I saw one field like that. I just came from Morari Sevak. They have one field where the weeds have outdone the other crops. So, because they didn't properly take out the weeds, they allowed the seeds to go there, they grew up, they didn't, what they call it, bush hog or something. And so therefore, the field became overrun with weeds. You could only see, smothered amongst all those weeds, there was some stunted plant of corn or something. That wasn't, just one field was like that. Otherwise, doing all right. So, this is the same thing that happened to our devotional keeper. We may put on the show of cultivation, of putting our faith, but if we have those weeds there, then instead of actually our devotional creeper growing, those weeds may grow. And then it smothers our enthusiasm, smothers our determination, smothers our original devotional creeper. So that's why we also have to have the humility that if we are not getting the reciprocation, not to think that, well, doubt Krishna or doubt the Guru. Rather, we should approach the spiritual master, senior Vaishnava, see that what is the weed that I must be growing. Some offense or some weed must be growing. Otherwise, certainly I would be getting more Krishna conscious happiness by my devotional service. So in this way, we put our faith in Krishna, more and more He will reciprocate. And as even He may make it difficult for us sometime, or Maya will make it difficult, and then again we have to learn to rely on Krishna. And He helps us. And this is what, again, this is like increasing your credit rating, increases your faith rating. You put, even in difficulty, you didn't fold. You didn't look for someone else to help you. You look to Krishna. What was the greatness of the Pandavas? In every difficulty, who do they look to as their only helper, as their only shelter? Simply Krishna. Therefore they are glorified. Duryodhana, he depended on his intelligence, on his strength, on his diplomacy, on his military allies, his political intrigues. This was what Duryodhana armed himself with. And the Pandavas, they armed themselves with Krishna's mercy. So Arjuna, he won the battlefield, he achieved Krishna's eternal mercy, and Duryodhana, with all of his family members, were all killed. So you decide that whether one should follow the footsteps of Arjuna, placing faith in Krishna, or placing rather like Duryodhana's faith in one's own limited materialistic sense activities. What do you think is the best course of action? Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Yes?
So Krishna consciousness is like a festival every day, actually, even sankirtan. But sometimes if one gets a little bit too much of an enjoying mood, sometimes maybe he loses the interest to study. Or maybe he just doesn't, he's not in the mood to read the books, he doesn't see that. Also, he sees it as a different mood, it fixes his mind because there's so much to do in Krishna consciousness. Is there anything wrong with that?
Could be. Every devotee is different. Of course, we have devotees in India who don't know how to read and write, frankly. So then, when they do sankirtan and they do service, but they have to, some of them, they know only enough to read the title of the book. They can't read what's in the book. Because they are farmer boys or something, they join. Only 29% of the population of India is literate. So there you have a unique situation where you can hardly tell them that you have to read the books every day. Somehow or another they maintain. But in the Western countries we're very habituated to thinking, to speculating, to trying to philosophize in different ways. And it's more essential, the more that one has already become habituated to reading and thinking in that way, the more complex one becomes, it's more essential that we keep our mind purified and stop from speculating. So whether you're illiterate, you have to hear the class every day for 2 hours, or whether you're illiterate and then you have to hear the class plus read something, we have to keep the mind filled with Krishna somehow or another. And we may have a temporary, we may have some enthusiasm, but if we don't regularly hear the Bhagavatam, either by personal reading and classes or by classes, then gradually our mind can start to become contaminated by material speculations. Therefore we advise Bhagavata Nitya Sevaya. The daily we should read the Srimad Bhagavatam. That's our Nitya Seva. Our daily service, eternally. So, if we are not attending the 2 hours classes a day, we should be reading 2 hours a day. We should be filling our mind with the Bhagavatam. Gita, Bhagavat. That will help us to control the mind and to remain enthusiastic, to remain in the full taste of Krishna consciousness. In this Kali Yuga, that is like charging our battery, hearing the Bhagavatam, chanting Hare Krishna, we need these things. Simply serving without hearing Bhagavatam, without chanting Hare Krishna, one cannot maintain indefinitely. The material energy of Kali Yuga is very powerful. It will draw the mind away. Srila Prabhupada has given us a perfect system of having regular classes twice in a day, reading his transcendental books, chanting every day at least 16 rounds for initiated disciples. If we follow, then we can remain very safe. We can actually keep that taste for Krishna consciousness. If we start to neglect, then our mind and senses will gradually become stronger. And it will become harder and harder for the soul, spiritually directed intelligence, to control the mind and senses. They will leap out at one point or another and embarrass us. Is that all right? He had
we had the instructions, general instructions to depend on Krishna and hope for his mercy. And then, like you were speaking...
One of the 6 parts of surrender.
Then you were speaking the beginning of getting the mercy of Lord Chaitanya by approaching through Lord Nityananda. But then we also have the general understanding that that the spiritual master is the transparent medium for all this. So is to actually call out to Lord Nityananda, is that bypassing his spiritual master? That is attempted to direct?
Oh, well, if one... When Lord Chaitanya was personally present, then Nityananda was representing that Guru Tattva. You see. Now Nityananda is personally present in the form of the, as represented by the Guru. So we serve Nityananda through the spiritual master. The spiritual master is considered to be the most confidential servitor of Lord Nityananda. So if one tries to directly approach Nitya Guru without a spiritual master, that will also be considered jumping over. But with the blessing, I mean, Prabhupada said, you try to cling on the lotus feet of Nitya Guru. So that's his order. So following his order, You're not bypassing or jumping over him. You're just carrying out his instruction. He said, cling to their lotus feet. Because, you see, it's a practically an established fact that in Kali Yuga we are going to commit, or we have already committed so many offenses and mistakes before we even came. And we are liable to at any moment develop some offensive mentality. But Nitai Gaur's mercy is that they can forgive one of all these offenses so that we can actually worship Krishna properly. The example is given that in Vrindavan, the demons came and Krishna killed them and gave them liberation. But in Navadvip, the demons came and Nitai Gaur, just like Jagai Madai, they didn't kill them, instead they delivered them and gave them pure devotion. You see, if we approach Krishna with an offensive mentality, his Vrindavan Leela would call for him to... You see, but Lord Chaitanya's mercy is that even we come with an offensive mentality, once we become determined to give up our offensive mentality, to correct ourselves, well, he has the mercy and the special quality of giving previously offensive people that mercy that they can give up their offenses and they can approach Krishna in a pure mentality. So that we're doing it automatically through the spiritual master when you're engaging in the Sankirtan Yajna. That's on the order of Lord Chaitanya. We are approaching Vrindavan through Sankirtan, through preaching. While we're preaching, then we can experience Vrindavan. While we're engaging in Sankirtan, that moment we'll be able to experience our intimate relationship with Vrindavana most intensely. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in his poem Dushtamon Tumi Kishe Vaishnav, Prabhupada in his poem Vrindavane Bhajan, meaning those two, one poem is materialistic mind, what kind of Vaishnava are you, and worshipping Krishna and Vrindavan by Prabhupada. First one was by Bhakti Siddhanta, and both of the ultimate conclusion was that while one, with so many devotees engaged cooperatively in the Sankirtan movement, in glorifying the Lord, following in the footsteps of the gopis, they were always glorifying Krishna, following in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. At that moment, you can actually understand Vrindavan. You can actually understand your intimate relationship with Krishna. Not by imitating, so-called misimitating, misinterpreting what were the lives of the Goswamis and going and just staying in the holy place and not engaging in the preaching work, in the Sankirtana movement. That won't bring the desired result, but engaging in the Sankirtana movement brings very quickly that realization of our intimate, eternal relationship with Krishna in his holy land of Vrindavana. Therefore, even in Mayapur, Prabhupada said that this Mayapur Chandragaya Mandir is Lord Chaitanya's karmasthan. He said in Bhagavad Gita, janma karma sanay dibhyam evang yogadi tatvata chattan puna janma naiti mameti sojuna. One who knows the transcendental nature of my birth and my activities does not have to take again rebirth in this material world, but comes back to me. So Prabhupada said, janma and karma, these two things are there, birth and activities. So Krishna was born in Mathura, he went to Vrindavana. Similarly, Lord Chaitanya, birth is just a short... What is more important, he asks us? Birth, just the birth or the activities for the rest of his life? So the activities are more important, not that birth is also transcendental, that appearance is transcendental, not ordinary, but his activities, they are more important. So Srila Prabhupada was saying, this is the karmasthan. This is the place of Krishna Chaitanya's activities. Similarly, all over the world, we are manifesting the activities of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. So that is more important. So this way, how we can engage in those activities, that we do by the mercy of Guru. He is the one who instructs us how to perform these activities, and the activities he instructs us are the activities which are authorized by Nitai Guru. The mercy of Guru, taking his permission, then we approach Nitai Guru to give us their mercy, that we can then also understand what is the real meaning of Radha Krishna worship. Is that alright? He had his hand.
So, in Srila Prabhupada, he had published first the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the seventh chapter of volume 2, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and in this section of Chaitanya Charitamrita, he speaks very much about chanting of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Vrindavan and like that. And so, after that, before the devotees didn't chant so much Sri Krishna Chaitanya, we chanted Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. But we didn't chant this other mantra so much. And after doing that, I was wondering if there is some special recommendation for many chanting of this. Chanting, say, a whole mantra, a whole 108 mantras of this name, or is it sufficient, do you think, just to chant one? Or do you think, I would like to know if there's some special recommendation for chanting this Panchatattva mantra.
Srila Prabhupada said that before we chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we should chant the Panchatattva mantra. But he didn't give any number. I remember that in the beginning of the movement, sometimes he would have whole kirtans of Sri Krishna Chaitanya going on for half hour, 1 hour, and then in the end, Hare Krishna. Recently, Brahmananda Maharaj said that Prabhupada told him that for Africa, you should especially concentrate on the Panchatattva mantra. Because if people are very fallen, then Lord Chaitanya's mercy is more. But Lord Chaitanya ordered us that we have to chant Hare Krishna. Therefore, we chant Hare Krishna. Were there any questions from the mothers? Yes? You haven't heard the question? The question was, if Krishna is equal to everyone, then why give some people mercy? Or what is the idea about behind mercy? Am I correct? So, the mercy comes that first the equality is that Krishna gives everyone the opportunity to get whatever they want. And the demons want to forget about Krishna, the atheists, so he also allows them to forget. The devotees want to know Krishna, so he gives them the opportunity to know. Now, accordingly, to the law of karma in the material world, one works and he gets the result. But Krishna sanctions every result. So when one will get, that's also his mercy. So Prabhupada took it down right to the final last denominator, that actually we can do nothing. All we can do is desire. I wish to do this. Icha. We desire to do something. We desire to speak. Krishna gives us the ability to speak. Because we want to speak. The athlete wants to run. He has no, if in 1 second he can just become paralyzed. Why a rock cannot speak and we can speak? The body is running automatically. The person doesn't think, now I'm going to move my jaw and there are 37 muscles in the face and or 58 and they're all moving now this way. It's just happening automatically. That also is through the mercy of Krishna. That he's working through his material energy. So, in the terms of devotional service, actually speaking, we may want to achieve Krishna, but we, if it was purely a question of equality, then we should be 100%, 100% fixed in Krishna, and then we could expect that we could get Krishna. But practically speaking, even when Krishna told Arjuna that you should think of me 100% of the time, he said that it's not at all possible. It's easier to control the hurricane than to control one's mind. I cannot guarantee that 100% of the time I'll only think of you. But then Krishna said, you practice thinking about me, and then still you'll come to me. So actually to achieve Krishna is such a great thing that there's no amount of work you could do to actually deserve it. If it was just a question of equality, there's actually no amount of work that one can do to actually deserve to get Krishna. But when a soul is desiring to have Krishna, and that soul is also trying to do something pleasing to Krishna in that direction, so then Krishna, out of his own mercy, he accepts that devotee. Even before that devotee deserves to actually be brought back to Krishna. So, because the devotee is desiring to reach Krishna, another is desiring to forget Krishna, and someone desiring to become the president, and Krishna is giving them the opportunity to go after their desires. That is being equal. But that he gives people their desire, especially the desire to return back to him even before they should get it. Even before technically they're 100% ready for it. But he just speeds up the process. That's his mercy. Is that clear?
When Jagai and Madai got special mercy from Gonatai, they never engaged anyone in an abominable way, in a sinful way. So what will happen to a person who accepts the spiritual master, but some other by misfortune or by some kind of contamination, he again falls down, but accepts afterwards again the shelter of his spiritual master. Is there a way for him to become again accepted by the Lord?
You're saying that Jagai Madai, once they surrendered to Lord Chaitanya, that they promised never to break their principles again, and they kept their vow.
Yes.
What happens if someone who has made similar vows to the spiritual master breaks them, subsequently falls down, falls away, and then he comes back? You're asking if he can come back or not.
No, if he comes back, will he be again accepted by the Lord?
If the spiritual master accepts him.
Yeah, again.
If the spiritual master accepts him, then why the Lord will not accept? The spiritual master is not independent. He's acting on behalf of the Lord. So if the person falls down, again comes back, surrenders to the spiritual master, and again takes up devotional service, then again that person can be reinstated in his relationship, in his devotional service. Whether or not he'll be able, since he's lost that time, to finish up in this one birth, that's another question that can only be answered by Krishna. But no matter how, if a person falls away, he can always come back to Krishna. We are eternally related with Krishna. Our falling away is a temporary thing. Even we fall away and we commit offenses and we lose the association of Guru, even if we commit Guru Aparad for 1,000,000 lifetimes of Brahma, we may not get a Guru. But then after that, we may again get Guru sometime. And then again we may go back to Krishna. So in even 1,000,000 lifetimes of Brahma, in eternity is only a drop. But at this point, we don't want to delay our going back to Krishna by 1,000,000 lifetimes of Brahma, so we avoid committing offenses to the Guru. And somehow or another, if we make any mistake, and we come to our senses to realize that we're making a mistake, we've become misled, then as quickly as possible we should run back and cling to the lotus feet of our spiritual master and beg his forgiveness and somehow or another be reinstated in the service of Krishna and try to our utmost never to become misled like that by Maya again. And then there's still the hope that we can get back to Krishna even in this life. And even if we can't get in this life, at least we'll be so much closer to Krishna and we'll be given every opportunity to get back in our next life. But if we leave, if we come back and surrender to the spiritual master, we leave in Krishna consciousness, there's every assurance that we won't have to again come back to material consciousness. After all, yam yam vapi smaran bhavet tyajat ante kalevaram. It's how we end the game, especially, that's the most important. If at the very end of your life you're able to fully concentrate on Krishna, then also that's enough. Ajaniya, his whole life he fell away from Guru. The last moment he chanted the name of Narayana, because of that one last moment he remembered Krishna, he was delivered. But that's cutting it very close. So if you can come back with more time than that, then it's much better. But don't take it to that last breath. If you choke up, then it may be too late. Yes? So that same question was asked by Maharaj Nimi to the Navayogendras in the 11th canto of Bhagavatam, and they describe what are the qualities of a
spiritual master of a pure devotee. Similarly, in the Bhagavatam, in the scriptures, you'll find the qualities of a bona fide spiritual master, of a devotee who is a bona fide devotee, the Mahabhagavata. So according to the qualifications given in the scripture, a person that wants to find a bona fide spiritual master, he has to see the scripture, hear from other devotees who is a bona fide spiritual master, and then he can approach different spiritual masters, he can test them. He can test them by asking questions, by applying those questions in his answers in his life, seeing if they're effective. And then when one is fully confident that the person is in a bona fide disciplic succession, that the person is following the instructions of the scriptures, he has the basic qualities of that are mentioned in the scriptures, then one should immediately surrender unto that person and accept him as a spiritual master. So there's no alternative. You have to, you may say that there are many spiritual masters around. What to be done? Every day you're going out to buy a car, there are many car dealers around. You see, there some of them are selling lemons and some of them are selling good cars. So there may be spiritual masters, some may be bogus and some may be real. So you have to know what is a real spiritual master, then you have to go and you have to test. As soon as you find the real one, then you should take shelter. If you say that because there seem to be contradictions or there seem to be false spiritual masters, I become angry, I don't want to take any spiritual master, then you won't make any progress. Krishna says that if one doesn't put his faith in anyone, then he can neither be happy in this life or in the next. So ultimately you have to put your faith. That way Krishna is in the heart. If you want to approach Krishna, if you want to actually reach Krishna, you want to achieve the Supreme Absolute Truth, and you're desiring in that way, Krishna will lead you to a bona fide spiritual master. And even if one, by some mistake, gets a false spiritual master, so, but if he's sincere, that will also be revealed to him. At that time, then that false spiritual master, if he sees that, actually he's not bona fide, then in that case he has to be given up. Then he's not a spiritual master. But so we have to try according to the scriptures, according to the sadhus, the other advanced devotees. You have to find out who is a bona fide spiritual master. Then you take shelter, you put some faith, and you depend on Krishna. And then if you're sincere, Krishna will always help you. Prabhupada gave the example, cheaters and the cheated. That in India, in some of the holy places, sometimes women with loose morals, they would go there because they wanted to seduce a sannyasi, because their whole life they're brahmacharis, they thought that would be some special conquest. So some of them were also successful. But so what happened is some debauchee men, they saw this, that women are going to the holy places trying to get sadhus, so they came and they dressed like sadhus to go there and get their women. The Prabhupada said, this is cheaters and the cheated. You see. So, that is happening, that pure spiritual master is giving absolute truth. He's giving, this is what you have to do. This is good for you, this is bad. But then someone's thinking, well, I have this idea. Can I find someone who gives according to my idea? They're not thinking, what is the truth? But they have some preconceived notion, they want that packaged ready solution. So just to suit those type of not real seekers of the truth, but cheaters. So similarly some people are coming, ready-made to Chitta. One has to become detached from sense gratification, regulate one's material life, and become transcendental to material desire by developing a higher spiritual taste. But there are people, they want their cake and they want to eat it too. They want to think that they're very spiritually advanced and just be swimming in the ocean of sense gratification. You see, so there are some bogus gurus also that they teach them how to swim in the ocean of sense gratification and tell them this is very spiritual. But they're all simply going deeper and deeper into darkest regions of materialistic existence. They're not going any closer to Krishna. So therefore one has to actually be sincere and actually take that determination, whatever it is, I want to know what is the truth, what is ultimately the end of all existence, what is the origin, what is the goal. If it's difficult to achieve or easy to achieve, that's a separate issue. First let me see what is the supreme destination, then let me try for it. Don't compromise an absolute truth, you'll get something else. So that way, it requires this also some mercy. Brahmanda Brahmite Kono Bhadkyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lota Beach. We wander throughout the universe, birth after birth. Somehow, we have the desire to return back to Krishna, back to the Supreme Lord, back to Godhead. Then, by Krishna's mercy, He leads us to the bona fide spiritual master. And that spiritual master then advises how to go back to Krishna. So that mercy of Guru and Krishna, that cooperation is there. The person is sincere, he'll be led to a bona fide guru. Mother, yes? And near the post here. What does she say? When this question was asked to Srila Prabhupada, he would reply that when the spiritual master is satisfied, that means that Krishna is satisfied. Devotee may get an idea how to serve Krishna. But then that should be confirmed. Hare Krishna. This is who? Vrindavana Nathavara. Sisi Raha Vrindavana Nathavara. Ki? That way we have Sadhu Shastra Guru for testing. Whether something is going to be pleasing to Krishna, we have our senior devotees, we have the spiritual master's instructions, we have the scripture, the Shastra. So between these three, we have to do everything authorized. We don't take any risks. We don't gamble. If we don't know that it is authorized, if we're in doubt, you see, then we shouldn't take any risk. We shouldn't gamble. We should not do anything whimsically. That means that everything we do should be authorized by the scripture, by the sadhus, by the spiritual master, by one or all. As many as possible.
Chaitanya merciful according to time, place, and circumstance. Like, for example, a milesha like me that decides to join a Sankirtan movement by this towards, like, someone who's born in the future generation, who will be born in the future generation when the most likely spiritual consciousness is not that.
You're saying as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, merciful according to time, place and circumstance. Well, because someone fallen in this particular age, will he give the mercy to, in other times, different mercy? Well, we find practical example of Lord Chaitanya is that his devotee, Junior Haridas, was in the renounced order. He behaved irresponsibly, associating improperly with women, and he was rejected by Lord Chaitanya on the one hand. But on the other hand, other Grihastha devotees who were actually married, had children, they would come with their newborn babies. He would name the babies sometimes or bless them. So we can see that Lord Chaitanya would deal with different people differently. He wouldn't deal with everyone the same. So we can expect that to continue. Especially Lord Chaitanya is more merciful the more fallen that one is, if one is very humble. The more proud one is, the more difficult to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. The more humble one is, the easier it is to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Question?
Yes. In the beginning of that process, sometimes we see lots of impurity coming out from them. We see all the impurity of the mind, a way of thinking and all that. But it's good to see it, you know, to get away from that. But in the same time, it's not very ecstatic to feel all this impurity going out. What should be the mood of the devotee during this this experience?
I couldn't understand exactly.
Let's know what should the mood of the devotee be while he's experiencing the impurities due to his previous contamination while he's undergoing the process of sadhana, bhakti,
hasha. He should feel lower than a straw in the street. Yes, you should feel actually repentant at how fallen you were, how you had been so misled, how you committed so many activities which were simply detrimental to your spiritual advancement, offensive to Krishna. Then, while one is being purified, then naturally one will, by actually being repentant or being humbled by that, that will bring one closer and actually attract the mercy of the Lord more intensely.
So it's a mercy to live this experience, to see exactly how falling we are.
Yes, I mean, the exact psychology that you're representing, I don't think that I perfectly, it's appropriate. Maybe I don't understand. But in becoming purified, one doesn't, it's not a painful situation. When one is advancing in Krishna consciousness, it's rather relieving situation. It's when one needs a purification that one feels an anxiety. Once you're getting purified, then it's already beyond that. In other words, if you're feeling anxiety because so many attachments, That's Krishna's way of showing you through his material energy, Maya, what are the obstacles standing between you and him. So by seeing those things, if one takes the proper attitude and starts to follow the instructions of a spiritual master and surrender, and actually feels humble and feels sorry or repentant that he's done so many different things, that these so many contaminations are there, and then in this way allows the mind to become more intensely surrendered and cling to the lotus feet of Nitai Gaur, then actually it brings one quicker to Krishna. But if one looks at those things with attachment, that, oh, what I'm missing, and feeling that pain of separation from sense gratification, then of course there's going to be difficulty, because the person is an illusion, as is still identifying with the body, rather than identifying with Krishna and one's eternal self. One is misidentifying with the sense gratification of the body, therefore feeling anxiety. So one has to adjust that mentality by chanting. And gradually, by chanting, one will be able to see that one is not this material body, but is a pure spirit soul.